Well, it's only been weeks since the last vote, but Israelis will head to the polls again for an unprecedented second election in September, after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu failed to form a governing coalition. The members of Israel's parliament have only just been sworn in after elections in April, but a majority voted to dissolve the parliament at midnight. To look at what happens now, we're joined by Aaron Shapiro, senior policy analyst with the Australia-Israel Jewish Affairs Council in Melbourne. Aaron, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Glenn.
First, this has never happened before. Why are we headed back to the polls so soon after that April 9 election? Why couldn't they pull together a coalition this time?
Well, it's a good question. The general layout of the Knesset is the same as it's been in the past, the basic parameters of the parties. But this time, when they got down to talking about the coalition, the two factions, one of ultra-Orthodox parties and one of vehemently secular party, they clashed, and they made demands on each other that neither could. So one, it got to a situation where neither could sign the coalition deal, and there had to be a new election.
So this divisive issue of mandatory military service for ultra-Orthodox men. What's the argument there, that they don't have to do national service because they, what, serve in other ways?
Well, that's a contentious issue. The ultra-Orthodox, which are not Zionists, they don't really believe in the state's outlook. They believe in very traditional yeshiva learning and studies and things of that nature, and they believe that that's the best thing they can do for the whole world, not just for Israel. So they say that their students should continue to learn the Jewish learnings of the Torah and the books, and that's their most important job. And the other side says, no, we're guarding the borders, and we're protecting you, so you should contribute as well. And it's a contentious issue because the Torah scholars want to continue learning their material, and the people who have to shoulder the security burden feel that's unfair.
All right. So midnight was the deadline for negotiations to try and form a coalition government amongst those groups. But if they fail to do so, why wasn't the other main opposition group given a chance to form a government?
Well, it's very interesting because that's an argument that a lot of people have made. They should have gotten another chance, but that was a defensive move by Netanyahu to dissolve the Knesset in order to prevent them from getting a chance and even opening that possibility. And this could be challenged in the courts, but the courts have been a political issue in this election season as well, so it's hard to say whether the courts would want to intervene or if they'd have grounds to do so. In any case, Netanyahu is taking a big risk going to elections.
Well, he claims to be unhappy, as you say, but could he, in fact, benefit from voters rejecting this apparent uncertainty and perhaps falling in behind his party? Could he get a better result?
You know, I've seen a lot of commentary, and I doubt he could do better than he did in the last election. As it is, he got the most number of seats he's ever gotten, and he's actually made a couple of mistakes if you've looked at it since April. He reportedly broke a campaign promise not to bring into coalition guidelines anything that might help him with his corruption cases, but also simply his failure to be able to form a government counts against him. So Israelis overwhelmingly don't want to go back to elections, and they could hold that against him.
In the meantime, does this mean that Netanyahu does not gain immunity from any potential prosecution for the corruption allegations he's been facing? Will that process proceed before the next election?
Well, no. It's true what you say, that while the Knesset did not form, he has no protection, but the process moves relatively slowly, and the hearing that he's waiting for, it's the last hearing, it's his only hearing before the indictment is finally official. That is going to take place in October. But the reason that it's in October, actually some commentators have said that's the seriousness of the issue. That's actually a time when they normally, in the Jewish holiday season, they usually push off things, and this time they're actually going to have this hearing. It's a signal that maybe they really want to move forward quickly on this, but it won't be before the elections. So it really won't influence it one way or the other.
Speaking of moving quickly, this election's not scheduled until September 17. Why the delay, and who runs the place in the meantime?
Well, it's the Northern Hemisphere summer, and they didn't want to go to elections when people are on holiday. So that was one reason why it didn't happen sooner. And then if it's too late, then it would run into the Jewish holidays. So this was the time that they came up with, and we, you know, looking at it from an Australian perspective, you'd think that it's a long time, but in Israel, because it's the summer, they said, well, this is the only time it could be.
So who's rowing the boat in the meantime?
This has never happened before, so there's going to be some sort of an interim caretaker government that's just going to have to shoulder the burden. And fortunately, Israel's a well-oiled machine, and it's going to, a few months here or there, there are a lot of bureaucrats who can get the job done, but we're in uncharted waters.
Yeah, and as you say, how do you think the public might react to having to go and do it all over again? Might they punish those who failed to form a government? Do you think many votes might shift in the coming months?
Well, there's a lot of potential for it. First of all, the person who's responsible for this stalemate, Avigdor Lieberman of the Yisrael Beiteinu Party, the secularist, he stands to gain because people will look at him and say, oh, he stood up against this. And you'll actually see some secular people rallying. I think right now the polls have shown that he could stand to benefit. But and there are a couple of parties. I think the ones who stand to benefit the most are the smallest parties who didn't do well last time. And here's their chance to have a do-over. And then the big parties, they actually have a lot to lose, like the Likud and the Blue and White Party, because they're starting from a very high point. So there's a lot of voter apathy because they don't want to go back to the polls, so they may not even show up. They don't have to. So there'll be low turnout. This could benefit the parties with like the Arab parties and things like that, which had low turnout in the last election, but relatively speaking may do better this time.
Well, we'll look forward to talking as September 17 approaches again. Thanks very much for joining us, Aaron.
Thanks, Glenn.
Aaron Shapiro, joining us from the Australia-Israel Jewish Affairs Council.